Reason to me how absolutely broken our world has become. At least the world around me as I know it. You know, I had so trusted so many people who were in charge, those who were in charge of our government, of our institutions, our schools, and especially those, Father, who were you'd entrusted with being in charge of your church, of your people. I believe, Father, that we've come to this fullness of time again as a people. Lord, that we need you to come again and heal our land. That you need to come and do a mighty work amongst us. Change our hearts, Father, the hearts of our nation, the hearts of our world. Turn it back to you. Holy Spirit, come and change us right here in this building today. Change us. I ask, my Lord, for an anointing on everyone in here, an anointing on their ears, an anointing on their eyes, their spiritual ears, their spiritual eyes. And especially upon their heart, Father, that you'd break up fallow ground. It's so hard sometimes. I plead your blood, Lord Jesus, over each and every one of us. Cleanse us from unrighteousness this morning, that nothing would stand between you and us. Only your presence counts. We sang about it this morning. A life laid down, Father. Lay my life down today. Right now. That we might stand and see you, stand and see what your kingdom is doing here today. And it would come. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I tremble at this word, Father, you've given me this morning to speak. I pray that the hearts that are here would hear what you have to say about it, and that you would speak to them, that they would receive what you have to say about it. A word for 2025. Holy Spirit, come and speak to our hearts, I pray. Anoint us. And as always, devil, you have no right here. You just have no right here. Get out. Get on your side of the line. I declare that over this building now and over our lives and over these souls. And I speak it in the mighty name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak it in the authority that he gives me. And I loose all that isn't of you from us. And I bind that all that it is from you to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I titled today's message, Don't Draw Back. Don't draw back. And I'm taking a word from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, amazing book. They're all the powers that be within Christendom really are not positive who wrote it, but we're pretty sure it was Paul. Pretty sure. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 37 and 38. And this is a word from Holy Spirit. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Add your understanding, I pray, Father. Back on June 2nd of this year, I started a three-week message, and I woke up one morning, and the word turbulence was just right in front of me. And I knew I was to speak on the subject. And I spoke 3 weeks straight on for the turbulent days ahead. And it has come up before me in my spirit that I'm speaking to this again. We're about to turn the 2024 calendar in to 2025, January 1st. And the only difference between December 30th, 31st, 2024, and January 1st, 2025, is we're changing calendars. But what we experienced in 2024 is going to be remarkably different from what we're going to experience in 2025. He's not done shaking. You believe that? He's not done shaking. We certainly have witnessed some mighty upheaval this year, have we not? Have you kept up with the cleansing of the church? It's been heavy. It always starts here, doesn't it? 1 Peter 4:17 would tell you that. Judgment begins here. I witnessed just this week, it was a video, and it was a video of a Sunday service of a ministry that just, I don't know, a few months ago probably, was speaking into the lives of multiple thousands of people. And on this video, there were maybe 30 people at this service. It broke my heart. Because you see, the gifts and the callings of God are what? Without repentance. And so the gifts and the callings that built this huge ministry, they're still there. But what happened? They broke trust. Do you feel your trust in God's been broken? That's a word to ponder for a while. You know, we just witnessed the fall of a political party, the greatest I've ever seen. And the only reason that party fell was why? All these people trusted in their message with their whole heart. And they broke trust with them. They did. They broke trust with them. And that's what happened to them. I spoke with Cheryl last week before service, and he was talking about his son's business, and he said, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but he was saying that a particular automotive company had just broken trust with his business, and his son's business. He wasn't going to buy that brand anymore. Why? Because he couldn't trust them to put out a good enough product to make it. They'd broken trust with that company. And so, no longer. There's probably nothing they can do to ever gain that trust back. I don't know if they'll ever sell another vehicle to them. Maybe not. Israel. Let me tell you, Israel had put a lot of trust in the United Nations. They trusted them to be a peacekeeping force. They trusted them to do what's right, to help them. And we have witnessed the fall of Gaza, Lebanon, and into what, Syria is it? Israel probably will never ever trust the United Nations again to ever do anything for them. They are putting a land barrier between them and the hostile people around them for a safe zone. Why? Broken trust. Broken trust. What a year this has been. You know, I could probably spend an hour speaking of who's broken trust with who this year? The things that have gone on. Turbulence. Turbulence. And I would say this, just because the election's over, don't believe peace, there'll be peace and calm now. Our opening scripture says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The writer of Hebrews was quoting from Habakkuk. Habakkuk, the second chapter, verses 2 through 4. And it says this in Habakkuk, verse 2, chapter 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Who uses social media this day to get your information? I expect all of you do at some point. You go out there and listen to it. You know, the days of turning on the 6 o'clock news and getting the whole scoop, they're over, aren't they? They don't exist anymore. Why? They broke trust. They quit giving us the news. Truth was, we never got the full scoop, but we trusted them. We don't anymore. You know, in Habakkuk's day, proclamations were written on tablets, tables actually, and one had to read the proclamation and find out what's going on. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary says this about this particular prophecy. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And they said, write the vision, which I am about to reveal to thee, make it plain in large legible characters upon tables, boxwood tables covered in wax, on which national affairs were graved with an iron pen, then hung up in public at the prophet's own houses or at the temple, that those who passed by might read them. My, how things have changed. It's easy to proclaim things today, isn't it? It really is. It comes our way. I use the terms clickbait, spam, and phishing a lot. You probably all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. Videos carry titles when you go out and you see them. They carry titles. And most of the time, more often than not, they're really misleading. Generally, outright lies, just to get you to do what? Do clickbait. Just get you to click on it. Excuse me. We truly live in unprecedented times. It'd be so easy today, with all this information coming our way, just to ignore it all. Not take any of it in, you know. Just ignore it, because it's, you know, what's true, what's not, you know. It, you know, just set it aside. Who's wanted to just quit it all and not look at it, ignore it? I'm sure some have. Just easier to disregard it than take it in and deal with it. Did you ever use this saying when you were younger? Probably, some of you probably have. You know, when I was a kid, we'd do things like this, and one kid would yell another, your dad's nothing but a pencil pusher. The response would be, well, your mama's so ugly, my dad says she ought to be used as a scarecrow. And on, it would go like that. And then finally someone would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words will never hurt me. Has there ever been a more false statement? But words will never hurt me. Our words are powerful. Life and death are in them. Just so God's word. And Habakkuk ended with these words, but the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3, verses 10 and 11. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You see, if you try to get to heaven by doing one work of the law, you have to do them all. If that's why you're doing your work for the kingdom, you know. So what is this living by faith? The just shall live by faith. Have you ever thought, I need to have more faith? Has that thought ever come to your mind? Or have you said, this person is having a crisis of faith? Well, what does that mean? Or maybe someone said, well, they just lost their faith. What does it mean to you? The just, what does that mean to you? Have you ever spent some time thinking about what living by faith means to you personally? I'd like to talk about it a little here, living by faith. Let's see what the Hebrews says about faith, what it is. Faith is mentioned, the just shall live by faith is mentioned in Scripture 4 times. We're going to look at this one. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation because I believe it really makes a plain statement. 11, verse 1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earn a good reputation. One more time. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. This scripture in Hebrew goes on and gives some examples of what living by faith, acts of faith, are. Verse 7 in Hebrews 11 is one example. Hebrews 11:7, New Living Translation. It was by faith, living by faith, that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that never happened before. By faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Well, when you read that in the New Living Translation, it really makes it plain, doesn't it? Saved his family and condemned the world, living by faith, by obeying what God had said to him. In verse 6, if we back up one, it's a description of how to live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, New Living Translation. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So, believing that God is, and that he rewards us for seeking him and doing what he says, living by faith. It actually pleases him. Pleases him when you believe that he is. Do you believe in God? That pleases him. Just amazing to me. You know, we've witnessed healing here. Healing is one of the most amazing things about faith that there is. You see, to the natural world, it makes no sense. There's only one way to get healed. You got to go to a doctor, get some medicine or some therapy, and have them do something to you. But I can tell you right now, if you've been healed by the Lord, you know it. It absolutely denies all the laws of physics and natural happening. It just does. God heals you. You know it. The rest of the world may not believe when you tell them. Who's saved? Who's born again? Have you been saved and born again? You know it. How do you know it? Did you physically change? Not a lot. We change when we age, you know. But you know it. Amazing. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives assurance about things we cannot see. This living by faith will be the rock on which we can stand in 2025. You see, what we see in 2025 is probably going to shake the faith of many. Here's my word for 2025. I received this on December 25th this year, Christmas Day. Who knows, prophecy can have more than one application. It can. It can say more than one thing. It says in Scripture, in Ecclesiastes, it says, what has been is what will be. Haggai and Zechariah were contemporaries in prophesying about the same time. And Haggai was so bold when he prophesied. He didn't mince words, guys. I mean, he just made it plain. And the people of Israel had just gotten back from captivity. They had been taken captive. And they'd come back to the Holy Land, and they were so busy building their own homes. They were building their own homes in their own places. And the temple had gone without any repair. It was being ignored. And worship of God was also being ignored. And Haggai, if you read the book, it will talk about, he will say so boldly, he will say, this is why your crops are failing. It's why you're planting 100 seeds and getting 80 back or something like that. It's why your flocks are not growing. They're not expanding. You're not getting growing. You've just not been doing what you're supposed to do. In the midst of this rebuke, he gives a word that absolutely jumped up in my heart. And I believe it's moving in such the same way in our time. Haggai, the second chapter, go start in verse 4 and 5. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. And it says, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Be strong, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the governor. He was saying, be strong, people who are involved in government. Be strong. God's Holy Spirit will be with you in the days ahead. Be strong, Joshua, leader of the temple, and all who are involved in the worship and caring for God's word and caring for God's temple. God's Holy Spirit will be with you in the days ahead. Be strong, people of the church of the Lord God, who know and love him. God's Holy Spirit will be with you in the days ahead. Be strong, Christian fellowship, for God's Holy Spirit will be with you in the days ahead. Why? Why do we need to be strong? And he finishes with this, Haggai, second chapter, verses 6 and 7. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says, in just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans, the dry land. I will shake the nations and the treasury of nations will be brought into this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. I have to admit, I get discouraged. It's all my stuff. You know, me, my stuff. I get discouraged too. I'm no different than anyone else. But this I know about God and about His Word, that every Word of God carries the power and authority to accomplish the task that it is sent to. Did you hear that? Every Word of God carries the power and authority to accomplish the task to which it is sent. These are the words in this prophecy that speaks directly to my heart about us and about me. He says, "For I am with you." Know it in your heart. Settle it now. God is with you in the days ahead. When the treasuries shake, when the ground shakes, when the oceans roar, when every institution we've trusted in begins to crumble before our eyes and our land, they're all being challenged. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Stand in boldness, people. Stand, for God is with us. Do not fear. He has a plan. And He will take us through it. I am so excited about 2025. That God is again moving in our midst. And He's going to do something mighty and wonderful. Because here it is. Here's the promise. I will fill this place with glory. How long has it been since you stood in the glory of God? When you got so lost in His glory that nothing else mattered. It didn't matter how much food you had. Didn't matter what kind of clothes you had to wear. Didn't matter what kind of vehicles you had to drive. Didn't matter where you lived. Didn't matter what went on around you. You're so close to the glory of God. It's all you can do to stand. You might fall under His power, under His glory. And He says, I will fill this place with my glory. I believe that for us. 2025. One more time. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 37. 38. For a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, don't listen to him. My soul has no pleasure. It's going to be so easy to draw back. Just say, I'm not going to have anything to do with this. I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live it. I'm just going to go forward today and shove all this stuff aside. The just shall live how? By faith. Faith that God is who He says He is. Faith that God's going to do what He said He will do. That He's going to bring His glory here. 2025 will be an amazing year. It will. You know, I've owned some powerful cars in my life. But I learned one thing about them. They break a lot. And you got to kind of hold on when you crawl into that accelerator because things can get a little wild. Well, it's the same in God's church. As you bear down, seek His face, better get a hold of your faith because things can get a little wild. And all that's not of Him is what? It's going to shake away. He's shaking it away. And He's not doing it just to America. He's doing it to the world, guys. Everywhere you look. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Have you got a hold of your faith? I'd encourage you to spend some time this week. Think about what you think living by faith means to you. Let's pray. I would ask if you've gone back in your heart before I pray. I want you to think about promises that you've made to the Lord. Just because you haven't done them yet doesn't mean you won't do them. But they need to be on your heart that you will keep them. Because you made it before Him and He takes it serious. Don't draw back. Don't draw back this year. Don't draw back. This is the time to take your step forward in faith, believing that God's going to do what He said He's going to do. Have you had a dream? Has He given you a dream of what your future will be? Have you given up on it? Zachariah and Elizabeth probably had, when all of a sudden she got pregnant. I'm telling you, this is going to be an amazing year. Have you said in your heart, I'm just not going to do that for the Lord anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I ask you to drop that thought. Tell the devil he can have it back. So Father, we come to You in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And we say, I'm going to lay my life down this year. It's Yours. You can have it. I've not done so great. So maybe You can do something really fabulous with it. I praise You, Father, for what You're doing this year. For having mercy upon America one more time to come and heal our land. I don't know what that's going to look like, Lord. But I believe in my heart, Father, that there's some great shaking coming our way. There's some great financial turbulence, some great physical turbulence, and especially some great spiritual turbulence. So we put our faith in what You've said, what You've spoken. For every word of God carries with it the authority and the power to accomplish that which it was sent to. And I stand on that, Father. But that's my future. That's my life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank You for forgiveness, for mercy, and for Your great favor. And His name is Jesus. The one had such great favor on me, I didn't deserve it. I give You praise for what You're doing amongst this people today, Lord. His hearts are committing their life to the one, the only one who's worth committing to. Give You praise for it, Lord. And I ask it and pray it and declare it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. There it is. With great humility and trembling.